Chapter 2, Jesus and His Circumstances. Preface. Each person lives in a specific and unique situation. Each person is marked by her environment, which includes education, and the spiritual, ethical, religious, and ideological atmosphere in which she develops. People always live in a certain time, in a specific historical setting. They have to deal with concrete national, social, political, and cultural circumstances. In short, they live in their own world, which inevitably shapes their existence. Jesus also lived in his own world, and was shaped by it, just as we are. In order to understand Jesus better, it is important to take a look at his world and his circumstances, and his attitude toward them. Some important points to consider, if only briefly, are his education and the culture of his times, his spiritual, religious, and ethical environment, the social environment, the national and political circumstances, the context of war, his economic situation, the ideological environment. All of these elements influence a person's development, his way of thinking, speaking, and acting. Each person, in turn, influences all these elements that make up the world where he lives. Jesus' education. People find themselves and discover their vocation under the influence of a community of people. Jesus, who started his life from the beginning when he was not yet fully developed, had to be educated, like any other person. Education is a necessary and decisive process in a person's life. Jesus was educated exclusively in the Jewish culture, in the way that simple, religious people of his time were educated. Jewish culture and mentality are reflected in every last passage of the Gospel. Jesus' words and deeds reveal his way of thinking, his Jewish upbringing. Great inventors, composers, and artists are never so great that they can forsake their past and their experiences. In Beethoven's concertos and symphonies, we can recognize chords from Mozart. Bach's music reinterprets themes from Vivaldi. The same thing is true of Jesus. He takes the message of the Old Testament, although in a different way, and like the prophets of old, he speaks of the God of our fathers. A person's originality and creativity are seen in the way she takes up the past, interprets it, and projects on it part of her unique personality. Jesus certainly knew how to read, write, and he was a master at speaking in public. There is no evidence to think that he attended any special school or studied under any prominent teacher. His education and culture were small town and homegrown. He went to the ordinary celebrations and explanations at the Nazareth synagogue. Jesus' teaching and his attitude in general don't suggest any specialized knowledge of Scripture. Jesus was recognized by his countrymen as a perfectly ordinary man. No one expected him to have any special knowledge. Jesus' originality and depth did not come from his education, or from his own personal study, or from any systematic knowledge. It came from his heart, his personal being, from his relationship with God and his neighbors, and from his bold freedom. It has been suggested that Jesus in his early years received an Egyptian education, but there are good reasons to believe that this is not the case. There is no convincing evidence that Jesus ever traveled to foreign countries. The story of the flight to Egypt is grounded in theology, not history. There was no school of Egyptian teaching in Israel. There is no indication in the Gospel that Jesus had even the slightest knowledge of Egyptian culture. In his way of thinking, speaking, and acting, Jesus gave no hint of any Egyptian influence. The same holds true for Roman and Greek culture. The religious and political circumstances of the times favored opposition to all things foreign. Jews as a rule were satisfied and proud of their own culture. Jesus' context. The Sadducees. This was the wealthy ruling class. They favored and defended the existing order. Their conservative theology imposed resignation on the people. They didn't expect the coming of the Messiah or believe in resurrection. They were upper class and looked down on ordinary people. The Sadducees considered themselves the legitimate bearers of the priesthood of Ezekiel, which was also claimed by the Qumran monks. They were aristocrats, indulgent toward Greek culture, and involved in the country's political life, mainly through the institutions of the high priest and the Sanhedrin. For political reasons, they sought support abroad, especially from the Romans, who were their adversaries. In the religious sphere, they had control over worship, the temple, and the Sanhedrin. They were not well loved by the people. The Sadducees' faith went hand in hand with their social position. They hewed closely to the Pentateuch and saw the prophets as suspect. The rest of the sacred books they simply dismissed. They insisted on demonstrating their fidelity to the God of their fathers and of the covenant, thereby justifying their lifestyle. They denied the resurrection and professed a belief in immediate material retribution. As they saw it, they had wealth and power because they were just and God blessed them. The high priest, together with the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, bore the greatest responsibility for the death of Jesus. The priests. There were about 7,000 of them, and they were in charge of offering the sacrifices in the temple. Since they were so numerous, they were divided into 24 teams that took turns serving in the temple. The first morning of the week they drew lots to see who would carry out the religious functions. Aside from this, they had no duties, except sitting occasionally as advisors in the village tribunal, mainly when the case demanded the presence of a priest. They were poor. Their income came from the part of the sacrifice that they were allowed to take, plus tithes. In order to get by, they usually had another trade, carpenter, stonecutter, merchant, etc. They were close to the people because of their economic situation and because they worked side by side with them. The priesthood was hereditary. As long as two conditions were met, their descendants had to have a Jewish mother and be physically and mentally normal. Jesus recognized the priest's authority, and even showed them high esteem. On the other hand, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, they are seen as inconsistent with their dignity, their office, and their proximity to the people. Priestly dignity and prerogatives were something that all religious people aspired to. Jesus recognized in the priests a freedom that transcended the written law. Jesus did not belong to the established priestly order. He was not a priest under the old law, and received no priestly training. He was not a professional theologian either. He did not formulate any theories or systems. What he did do was preach, in very simple terms, the imminent coming of the kingdom of God, using comparisons, parables, and images.